Today we'd like to see inner man. Before starting the Bible study, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 48, we want to see three questions. Number one, why shouldn't we be angry? Why shouldn't we be angry? Number two, why shouldn't we make an oath? Number two, why shouldn't we make an oath? Last question, how can we be perfect as our God the Father is perfect? How can we be perfect as our God the Father is perfect? Verses 21, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old," old meaning Old Testament, "you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment." So we can see Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. So, you shall not murder, that's about six commandments. So, murder part in two parts. One is a mental part, so called as malice aforethought. Malice meaning evil motive or hatred motive, so not good motive. Plus action part. So murder requires two parts, one part the mental part, bad motive, and the other one is the action part. But Jesus says, "I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Jesus points out just the mental heart and angry. So this is angry in this context, and whosoever says to his brother, brother meaning the believer, the children of God. So brother, raka is the Hebrew word meaning empty head, or some kind of distasteful word. So bad motive against the brother, that shall be in danger of the council, or shall be subject to judgment. So what do you mean danger of a council? Because Jesus gave in two greatest commandments of a council. Mark chapter 20 verses 30-31 said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this." So if you give anger against a brother with bad motive or evil motive or disdainful motive, they are subject to the violation, the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's why subject to his judgment. Whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. But whosoever say you're fool or you are foolish shall be in danger of the hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, then is verse 21-22, excluding righteous anger. 1 example, Luke chapter 19, verses 45-48, Jesus expressed righteous anger. Right here, then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And Jesus was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Jesus. So basically, Jesus made anger against the commercial people in the temple, you know, the money changers, or they sold and sacrificed in the temple, Jesus turned it down into the table. Then Jesus said, "My house is a house of a prayer." So that kind of is a rightful motive against the unbiblical behavior. That's different from here, bad motive, anger against brother. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, then they'll remember that your brother, meaning the children of God, brother has something against you. If you have a dispute among brothers, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Why? Because the 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, "Brother, reconciliation first, before you worship God." 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. If someone says, "I love God and hates his brother," he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So, in order to reconcile the basic reason, first of all, our relationship with God, our love relationship with God, first is established. Then love overflows to our brothers. So, if you do not love your brother, so you can see by eye. But how can you love God who you cannot see? That's the bottom line. So we need to reconcile, you know, brother in Christ. Then we can worship God, you know, make offering to God. Then agree with your adversary quickly. Here, adversary, it does not require only a Christian's brother. Because adversary, you know, whoever, even non-believer, adversary quickly, while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to judge. The judge hand you over to the officer and you'll be thrown into prison. So basically the judge hand you over to the court sheriff. So you'll be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means, or you will never get out of there till you have paid the last penny. So basically, very practical advice right here. Romans chapter 13, verse 8, the Paul says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." So basically, the disciple Paul taught us we shouldn't be debtor, you know, to anything else except love. So for credit card case, you know, certain due date, you know, if we should pay certain amount of money at a certain due date, so we wouldn't owe anything, right? So that kind of thing. Why? Because we should be witness to the Christ. That's why we shouldn't, you know, owe any money to body. So that's a very, very practical advice, counsel. Verse 27 through 30 talks about adultery. "You have heard that it was said to those of Old Testament, you shall not commit adultery." So adultery meaning sexual relationship with another than, you know, his or her spouse. That's called adultery. "But I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So adultery also requires two parts. One is a mental part, the other one is the action part. So mental part is growing into action. So if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Second is the right hand. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members, member means body members, perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. This is not, you know, literal meaning. So how can you, a person who cuts his right eye or right hand still can lust in heart? So even blind man, you know, can lust. So this one is basically Jesus wanting brothers and sisters in Christ be perfect as God the Father is perfect. Because the last verse, you know, the final verse, Jesus said, therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's the last question. How can we be perfect? That is, looks like almost impossible. So, but we can see later. Then is a marriage is a sacred and binding. Furthermore, it has been said, whosoever divorces his wife, let him give a certificate of divorce. So God intends marriage to be a lifetime commitment. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, which means leave his parents, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, until one of spouses is dead, right? Or is physically separated, is dead. So in that kind of a situation, until death. So lifetime commitment requirement. Then, but Jesus said to you that whosoever divorced his wife for any reason except the sexual immorality. So one exception right here, one exception really does not mean one supposed to commit a sexual immorality or the adultery or, you know, fornication, you know, automatically is allowed to divorce. It doesn't mean so. Just, you know, whatever, you know, attitude the victim suppose should attempt or look always to restore that marriage relationship, because God's intention, marriage relationship for a lifetime. So that's the reason. Causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So they'll discourage the divorce. So because God's intention, lifetime, you know, commitment for, you know, both spouses. Then again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, Old Testament, you shall not swear falsely. So false swear or false oath, you know, can be two ways. One is when I, you know, commit oath to the Lord. So that time, you know, I have a heart, you know, to perform, you know, that, you know, oath for lifetime. But when I accomplish my oath, the time when I accomplish the oath, I am not able to do so because not enough, for example, in offering money, not enough money or something like that. That is also constituting in a false swear, because I could not perform that initial oath. Also, second, in a falsely swear situation, when I make a false oath, I know I couldn't perform, you know, that also. That is also, you know, false oath in a situation. So oath meaning is unilateral, irrevocable promise. That is also Unilateral meaning one way. So from me, you know, to God, from me to another, you know, one way. Irrevocable means I cannot, you know, cancel, you know, my, you know, initial promise. That meaning irrevocable promise. That is basically Jesus discourages the author because we don't know tomorrow what it will happen. So, but Jesus, the bottom line, saying yes is yes, no is no. So just say word, you know, or promise is enough. So right here, do not shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oath to the Lord. Perform. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. So James chapter 5 verse 12, also same teaching. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. So you could not perform also, you will be subject to judgment. So basically, yes is yes, no is no, which means you just say word, you know, perform that word. Just a promise, that's enough, not like a unilateral, irrevocable promise. No, because we don't know tomorrow what it will happen. We might not perform tomorrow. But in a certain case, we might make a, you know, certain oath, you know, for lifetime, for a certain period of time. For example, a designated offering, you know, for, you know, so lifetime or something like that. You know, that kind of, that is the Holy Spirit work through, you know, the brother's heart, you know, in that case. Then is 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the Old Testament rule. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. So do not resist an evil person. Why? Because we are not allowed to resist an evil the man, or to sentence, to judge an evil man, because we are, you know, law doer, not like a judge or a lawmaker. So, right here, the James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, God says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil, for example, anger, you know, with bad motive, you know, that kind of evil, of a brother, or judge his brother, speaks evil of the Lord and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So one lawgiver, one judge is the God. So let God resist the evil person. So whosoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If this is also, it does not mean literal meaning, because somebody, you know, steps you on your left cheek. So here the Bible says not left cheek, so somebody slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other, means to left cheek, to him also, like that. So not literal meaning. So basically this is what's talking about here. We see continuing. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give it to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So this kind of is like a very impracticable comment and counsel. But Jesus really does not mean literal meaning. Basically, your attitude to material possessions. Like if possible, as light as possible. Why? because we are over heaven, not over earth. We are, our life really focused on the eternal kingdom. So somebody ask, 1 mile, work with me. So you should go 1 mile, in addition. That moment, can be the witness to the Lord Jesus Christ before the world. That's why the God, the Lord Jesus Christ counsel in that way. Also, you have heard that it was just said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So Bible does not really state hate your enemy, which meaning hate your Gentiles, that kind of meaning. Because in Old Testament, God, does not allow the Gentile, into the sanctuaries of the temple. Some kind of excluded, Gentiles kind of thing. So that practice occurred in the New Testament during Jesus' ministry, because some Samaritans cannot eat together with Jewish people, because Samaritans are not allowed to eat with Jewish people together. But I say to you, love your enemies. So which meaning love your enemies? We can see John chapter 3 verse 16, God so loved the world. The world meaning any people, including any human being. The world that God gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves all people, even enemies love that. That's why God gave His only begotten Son to them. Which meaning God gave opportunity for salvation to everybody. Not only believers, but also to unbelievers and everybody. So because God loves them, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So pray for persecutor. So pray for them, because God's nature is love. Also, this case is we should, the next question is, God really loves sinners? So, that answer is, God loves sinners only if they repent their sins in God's allowed time. But if the sinners who do not repent, so God hates the sinners who do not repent. Why? Psalm chapter 5, verse 5. The boastful shall not stand in your sight, in God's sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. God hates all sinners, all workers. So the Bible said in Psalm chapter 5, verse 5, it said, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil, on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Because one example, God gave the sun to everybody, not only brothers, also unbelievers, enemies too. So rain as well. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same. Tax collector meaning unbeliever in this particular context. Tax collector or publicans. Why? Because the tax collector is the favor to Roman governments. So Roman people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. So, unbeliever in this context, the tax collector do the same. Also, the Matthew's primary audience is the Jewish people, the believers, the children of God. So, tax collector do the same. Do not even unbeliever do the same. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? So, you should agree to the unbeliever. Do not even the tax collectors do so. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The last verse is almost like impossible. So we know that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. The First Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19-20 said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price of Jesus' bloodshed. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, whenever a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there a Holy Spirit dwells in you. That is called indwelling Holy Spirit. Then is the next one, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God is with him. Can anyone forbid the water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So here, baptism with the Holy Spirit indication. So baptism with the Holy Spirit, meaning Holy Spirit is described as water or oil. So it looks like there is a fill up. So first time Holy Spirit dwell, then Holy Spirit fullness. The fullness is called as the baptism of Holy Spirit. Then overflowing Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 said, but you shall receive power and when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, it overflow, you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. That's why the Peter, the witnesses to Jesus Christ before the people. Jesus, Peter is approaching the gospel very boldly. We can see book of Acts chapter 2, right? John chapter 7, 37 through 39, Jesus also talks about the overflowing Holy Spirit. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, you know, flowing living water. Living water indicates the Holy Spirit. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. This meaning living water. The living water, flowing living water. So flowing Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. What I mean, Jesus not crucified and resurrected yet. Because before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus delivered these messages to his disciples. So, how can we know, you know, genuine evidence of the Holy Spirit? So, genuine evidence of the Holy Spirit is agape love. So, we can see agape love, how Jesus gave, you know, the Good Samaritan situation, you know, to help somebody. So, the expression, you know, his labor, his money, you know, his time, you know, that kind of thing. So, agape love can be expressed with many types of works, you know. So, that's why James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So, we can see agape love with many ways of works, you know, with the way. Then is the next question. So, how can we perfect as our God the Father is perfect? Because in the 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 through 10, the God said, you know, we as brothers, we Christians also are sinners. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is a faithful, just forgiver us our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make Jesus Christ as a liar, and his word is not in us. So, basically, this can sin, you know, mistaken sin, you know, because we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are, you know, habitual. We are, you know, heritorial sin coming from Adam was cleansed away, but when, you know, we walk in the world, so we got the certain, you know, sin, you know, the mistaken, we commit a sin, that kind of sin. So Jesus also, John chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus said to Peter, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. So our all body was bathed by our Lord Jesus Christ's blood, said we only need feet, cleansed. Mistaken sin should be cleansed by prayer to confess our sin to the Lord, so God will forgive our mistaken sin. But it's completely clean, and you can clean, but not all of you. Not all of you. The First John chapter 3, verse 8 through 9, there's a different angle. He who sins is of the devil. He who sins is subject to the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For the beginning, Adam, habitual sin, hereditary sin. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. So we cannot sin in a habitual sin because God cleansed away our sin, the Spirit works through me. For his seed remains in him. So the Lord's seed remains in us, in me. And he cannot sin. So I cannot sin. You cannot sin because he has been born of God. So we are born from God. And that's why we cannot sin. So, this last question, how can we be perfect as our God, the Father, is perfect? We cannot be perfect by ourselves, but by the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control us to be just like the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's called progressive sanctified. Also, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would be granted to you, God grant to you according to the riches of God's glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit, His Holy Spirit in the inner man, in the inner man. So why shouldn't you be angry? Verse 22, the 22 anger with a bad motive, not the rightful motive, a bad motive. Bad motive or hatred motive, that's meaning the Jesus' greatest second commandment said, love your neighbor as yourself. That's a violation. That's why if you're bad motive angry, you might be subjected to judgment. The second question, why shouldn't we make an oath? Also meaning unilateral irrevocable promises. So sometimes we cannot perform at particular due date. So we don't know what it will happen. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ discourages the oath. But rather than yes is yes, no is no. Just a promise is enough. Last question, how can you be perfect as our God the Father is perfect? I already explained. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer.